just as real in those homes online as, God, you are right here in this moment today. God, move, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, just give the Lord another celebration of your praise this morning. Thank you, Father. You may be seated in his house today. I am thankful again for the freedom that we have to come and to gather without fear and worship the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. Now, last week we began diving into, I guess, a series that we're going to entitle The Remnant. Everybody say, The Remnant. We began to look at how from Genesis to Revelation, we see that God always keeps. Everybody say, He keeps. And He works through a remnant. Today, I need us to understand that you and I are to be that very remnant in this moment of time. Amen? And we simply defined the remnant as a reflection of the original. How many knows that we are to be that reflection of Jesus Christ? Amen? We are to be that reflection of our Heavenly Father. To maybe better understand that concept or principle, we used the analogy of having your home carpeted, and how when they bring in carpet to carpet your home, it is on a gigantic roll, and they begin to roll that out, and they cut it to fit specifically into your home. But in that process, there is always remnants that are made, and then we know that, again, as carpet is used, it gets faded, and it gets walked on, and it gets sun bleached, and it gets stained from life. But yet, if you were to go back to that remnant that was cut away from that and put in storage, so to speak, what you would see is you would still see a perfect reflection of the original. It would have all of its softness and vibrancy and coloration and all of those things. And so again, that is the thought for us today, that as the body of Jesus Christ, we are to be that remnant, that vibrant expression of who our Heavenly Father is. So again, as the church, as that reflection of God, we need to understand that we are not living in our kingdom, but we are living in His kingdom. Amen? And so as we remain faithful to Him, as we remain faithful to the things of God, the ways of God, as we develop and example His character and His nature, His attributes, all of which, again, in that process of reflecting, of being that original, all right, being that reflection of the original, what happens is when we live that way and we continue to live that way, our lives should point and lead others to Jesus Christ. Amen? As that reflection of that remnant, there should be no other direction that we lead people other than specifically and very directly to Jesus Christ Himself. And how many knows that's the goal this morning? Amen? As the remnant, we know that we have been both chosen by God and empowered by God. And we kind of, I suppose, took a platform scripture, if you will, from a Romans chapter 11 and verse 5. And it says, "And that is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment." How many knows right now God is fulfilling things? Amen? And it goes on to say, "For God's grace empowers His chosen remnant." His grace empowers His chosen remnant. Now, we have been given the power and authority, all right, in this age, all right, this age of fulfillment to operate as God's remnant. We're not out here just willy-nilly doing things on our own without strategy and without purpose. We have to understand that we're not here on our own accord or for our own desires, but we're here by His power, His authority for His purpose. Amen? You see, last week we looked at how we have been empowered as the remnant to intercede. Everybody say intercede. Intercede. We looked at understanding just a few things that I want to highlight before we move on, because I want them to continually remain connected in our hearts and in our minds, our train of thought today. The first thing was this, we understand our place of intercession. Everybody say place. Which is now for such a time as this. How many knows we're not waiting for our place of intercession? Our place of intercession is now, and it is for such a time as this. Secondly, we understood that the position of intercession, which should be relentless, meaning that we should continually be seeking the face of the Lord on behalf of the needs that are present both in our own homes, our neighborhoods, our church, our community, and this nation at large, and even around the world. How many knows today we're gathering here in freedom, all right? But how many knows there are many around the world today that they will gather in secret and underground, the persecuted church? We don't understand what that is fully this morning, because of the freedom that we live in today. So if you don't intercede for anyone or anything else, please intercede for the persecuted church, the church today, that they could be caught and sent to prison or put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thirdly, we learned of the power of intercession. Everybody say power. Again, that power is expressed through us via fasting, humility, and repentance. Not that we produce that power ourselves, but it is the Spirit of God living and at work in us. Amen? So this morning, I want us to focus our attention on the fact that the remnant live like sheep and not like goats. The remnant live like sheep and not like goats. Everybody say, bah. Now make a goat noise. It's the same, right? How many knows that a lot of times sheep and goats, they sound the same. There are many breeds that they look the same, but how many knows that they do life different? Amen. And we need to understand that difference this morning, because there is a natural there is a natural difference between sheep and goats, all right? Goats are what they call browsers, all right? Some of us have that dietary issue too, all right? It's all right. They look for leaves, they look for, basically a goat will eat anything. And a goat will instead of taking what is right in front of them, they will climb a tree or a rock or a tractor or the side of a barn to get the one leaf instead of eating what is in front of them and been provided for them. And again, because they browse, goats spend a lot of time investigating or exploring because they kind of have a free style feeding type system that they operate by. They are more interactive with their environment. And let's listen to that this morning. Goats are more interactive with their environment. They're drawn to the things that are around them. How many knows this morning we're called to be separate from the world, drawn away from the world this morning? Amen. They have this natural curiosity and independence. And because of that, they often get into a lot of trouble, and they really don't like to be shepherded, if you will. But sheep, on the other hand, sheep are grazers. And they ramble slowly, eating those short plants that are, again, close to the ground, that have, again, basically almost been put right in front of their face, all right? Sheep have a very strong flocking instinct and become agitated when separated from their group or their shepherd. Now, we have to understand today that as there is a natural difference between sheep and goats, there is some spiritual differences as well. And I want us to look at those in accordance to what God's word shows us and describes. So in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus draws a very clear distinction between sheep and goats. So I want us to begin there today in verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." Catch that, all right? Verse 33, "And he will place the sheep on his right hand." Everybody say right hand. "But the goats on the left." Everybody say the left. "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you covered me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. Everybody say the least of these. You see, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, there will be a day when every nation, every tribe, every tongue will bow before the Lord. And as the chief shepherd, he will begin to separate the sheep from the goats. Again, the sheep represent the godly, and it says that they are going to be placed on his right hand. And we need to understand this morning that the right hand represents honor and blessing. And he also goes on to say that while he will have some that he places on his right hand, he will place the goats or the wicked on his left hand, and that represents dishonor and or rejection. How many know that we want honor and blessing, not dishonor and rejection? But how many knows it's not a matter of what we want, it's a matter of how we choose to live. Come on. We want honor and we want blessing, but are we living like sheep or are we living like goats this morning? Because there will be no other division or subdivision at that point. It won't matter how many years that you spent in church or out of church. It won't matter what denomination that you chose to be affiliated with. None of that will matter in this moment. We're simply at that point going to be labeled sheep or goats. There is the sanctified or the unsanctified. And that decree from that day, if you get swept to the right or if you get swept to the left, that is your eternal forever. Now, I don't say that this morning to create fear or some kind of condemnation or judgment or anxiety, but I say that for us to understand the reality of our lives, and our lives are not temporal and earthly, they are spiritual and eternal. Amen? And so we need to understand the weight of what it means to live as a sheep or as a goat this morning. Again, our position and distinction as either a sheep or a goat is marked by how we choose to live. It's not how my parents raised me. It's not the environment that I got stuck in. It's not, did I get this privilege above another privilege, or was I given dealt the worst hand in life? None of that is coming into the equation. It's a matter of what we have chosen to do as individuals with our lives. The sheep were given a place of honor and blessing because they chose to live in a position of humility and service to the least of these. That is why they gained the right hand position. Whereas the goats were all given the same opportunities but chose to live from a position of disregard and selfishness. And as a result, they neglected the least of these. And because they neglected the least of these, they were swept to the left, and so they were rejected. How many know this morning we have a choice to make every single day when we wake up, every day when our lungs fill with air and God gives us a new day on planet Earth, we have a choice to make. Are we going to be a sheep or are we going to be a goat? Are we going to sound like a sheep and look like a sheep, or are we going to be a sheep? Amen? So how do we ensure that we are living as sheep and not as goats this morning? I think that we can start by measuring our lives to the standard that Jesus describes to us here in Matthew chapter 25. And I want us to go back and read 35 and 36 again. It says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And maybe this morning those things seem too simple, but can I tell you that the church is not doing the too simple this morning? We need to be better at the, well, that's too simple. You see, are we really this morning loving, serving, and ministering to those who are hungry and thirsty, both physically and spiritually? Are we being kind and hospitable and generous to strangers, welcoming them into our churches and our friend circles and even our homes? Are we brave enough? Are we bold enough to live that out? Are we providing life's necessities for those who are in need and cannot provide for themselves? Are we praying and caring for those who are sick? This morning, are we visiting, encouraging, discipling those who are in prison? And again, whether that's a physical prison or a proverbial prison this morning, are we doing what we're called to do to set the captives free? Are we being sheep or are we being goats? when I read what Jesus mentions here in Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36, there was really just kind of one way that it began to break down for me as I began to think about that. And it's basically that loving God to the degree that we love others as we love ourselves. What we see represented in those two short, compact verses is just loving God so much that we're willing to love humanity even in their brokenness, even when it is inconvenient for us. We love them as if we are loving ourselves. And how many knows we treat ourselves good? Amen? And that's how God has called us to treat and to love others. I want us to travel to Romans chapter 13. And I want to begin in verse 8 this morning, reading from the Passion Translation. It says, "Don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another." Catch that, church. We have an outstanding debt to continually love one another. "For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and every other commandment can be summed up in these words: love and value others the same way that you love and value yourself." Boom, period, mic drop, and Paul walked away. You see, love makes it impossible to harm another. So love fulfills all that the law requires. We have a shortage of love in this world today. And can I be honest with you? There's a shortage of love in the church. I'm gonna say that again. There's a shortage of love in the church. Now, I think we do a pretty good job, and that's not to pat us on the back, but can I be honest? We can do a whole lot better than what we're doing. And we can be that better reflection. We can be that better remnant this morning and help lead and usher others into that same godly and Christ-like example that we have been called to. I love how Paul goes on, because he goes on to say in verse 11, "To live like this is all the more urgent." Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, it's urgent." No, look at them and say it like it's actually urgent. Say, "It's urgent." He says, "For time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. It is time for us to wake up, for our full salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." And again, how many know today that that should not incite fear, but that should incite faith? That should not be like, ugh. No, that should be like, "I'm ready. Let me help get everybody else ready." Because the hour is now, and how many knows that Jesus Christ's return is imminent? Meaning it could happen at any moment. And if it can happen at any moment, we need to be about the Father's business, working as sheep and not as goats. Amen? Verse 12, "Night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. So we must once and for all strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon." Verse 13, "We must live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness and debauchery, not in promiscuity and sensuality, but not being argumentative or jealous of others." Verse 14, "Instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires." You see, what we have done for years in the church across America is we have played in the shallows. We have maybe waded into our knees or our hips. But today, we need to be fully immersed. Amen? It can't be a shallow church. I'm telling you, God's not coming back for a shallow bride. He's coming back for a bride that's willing to swim in the deep. Because when you swim in the deep, how many knows you have to trust the one who's carrying you at that point? Amen? He's not coming back for some anemic, Come on, church. God is coming back for a bride that is vibrant, a reflection of the original with passion and Holy Spirit fire burning inside of them, ready to be sheep and not to live like goats this morning. Amen. You see, sheep love and value others equally while goats love and value themselves. It's a clear difference this morning. Sheep understand that time is running out and they must be strategic and be about the Father's business. Goats are oblivious to the times.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
Come on, let's wake up, church, amen? You see, sheep live in the light to reflect the light, but goats live in the darkness to disguise their dishonoring deeds. Sheep fully immerse themselves into the shepherd and abandon their former identity and selfish desires, but goats, they fully immerse themselves into their own identity and their own selfish desires, believing that all is good and all is well. God knows my heart. He's so full of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And yes, he is. How many are thankful that he's full of that this morning? But how many knows that, as we just read, there's going to be a moment where all of that comes to push and to shove, and he's going to say, you go to the right and you go to the left. Because we're either going to have lived our lives as sheep or we're going to live our lives as goats. So how do we make sure that we are sheep and not goats? How do we get there and then stay there? I want to take you to John chapter 10. We're going to read the first 5 verses there in chapter 10 this morning. And hopefully this gives us a little bit more additional insight. Verse 1 says, Jesus said to the Pharisees, listen to this eternal truth. The person who sneaks over the wall to enter into the sheep pen, rather than coming through the gate, reveals himself as a thief coming to steal. But the true shepherd walks right up to the gate. And because the gatekeeper knows who he is, he opens the gate to let him in. And the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd. Hear that again. The sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him. When he has brought out all his sheep, he walks ahead of them and they will follow him. Again, get that this morning. They follow him, all right? For they are familiar with his voice, but they will run away from strangers and never follow them because they know it's the voice of a stranger. It's simple this morning. We find 3 distinct characteristics of sheep that should continually be applied to our lives if we hope to remain sheep, if we hope to be that remnant who live like sheep and not like goats. The first is this. It says, sheep hear his voice. They recognize the voice of the true shepherd. To recognize is to hear. Everybody say hear. That word hear means to understand and comprehend. It is to understand and comprehend. And so this, for that to happen, it requires there to be a position of listening. Everybody say listening. You see, and when we listen, in this case, listening means acting in obedience. How many of you, sometimes we hear his voice, but we aren't listening to his voice. And we sure aren't obeying what he has spoken. So for us this morning, to know that we're living as sheep, one of the first steps is to hear his voice, to know his voice, to listen to his voice, but then to obey his voice. How many knows the shepherd's instructions are invaluable this morning? And while he has left a wonderful manual that we call the Word of God full of that, how many of you, sometimes his spirit will speak, and if we're not where we need to be in a position of listening, he will speak and we will miss his voice. How many knows when we miss his voice, that's when we usually wind up in the ditch? Amen? The second thing is sheep follow his lead. It says in verse 4, he walks ahead of them and they will follow him. Again, goats are kind of like, I see him. But sheep are like, nah, I'm with him. You see, it's following. And it's not following at a distance. It's following step by step moment by moment. You see, sheep cleave to the shepherd with trust and obedience. They have no problem going where he goes because they have complete trust that he's going to lead them exactly where they need to be. They have no problem following instruction because they know he's never led them astray yet and he's never going to do it in the future. So they trust and they obey because they believe that he is a good shepherd, amen? They follow his lead by acting according to his instruction and example through fellowship and self-denial. How many knows we need to have a little bit more of that self-denial? Because the more that we crucify our own flesh, it'll be easier to follow his lead, amen? So sheep this morning, they hear his voice, they follow his lead. And thirdly, sheep avoid strangers. Sheep avoid strangers. It says they will run away from strangers and never follow them. Stranger danger. You see, if we remember, goats are curious. They love to interact with their environment. But how many knows when curiosity gets mixed in with environment, we usually get separated from the shepherd because there's things that are distracting us. There's other voices. There's other things calling to us. And so goats are like, whoa, that looks super fun. I'm going to go do that for a minute. But sheep are like, man, I'm having a great time right here. And he didn't say that, you know, we had free time or anything. So I'm just going to stay by the shepherd. How many knows that's where we need to be, right by the shepherd? Because this life will bring to even the most veteran of us this morning in our faith with Jesus Christ, there will be things that try to call and distract you and pull you away from your shepherd this morning. And we have to understand that there are strange voices. There are strange callings that will try to pull you away. Sheep hear his voice. Goats refuse to listen. Sheep follow his lead. Goats refuse to be led. Sheep avoid strangers while goats entertain strangers, but not like in the biblical, they may be an angel way. So provide hospitality. Come on, guys. If you would stand with me this morning. What we need to understand this morning is that goats always try to lower the standard. Goats always try to lower the standard. Goats wonder, what is the minimum that I can do and still make it to heaven? Can I tell you that if that is your thought, theory, approach, theology of life, you're already a goat? Well, Pastor John, that's harsh. You don't know my heart. And it doesn't matter. God sees your heart. And this morning, if your mindset is, what is the minimum I can do to hold on to this ticket to heaven and still make it through the gates, you're already acting like a goat. Stop. Stop acting like a goat this morning. They always lower the standard. Sheep, however, are always willing to obey and go the extra mile with the shepherd because they trust him at all times for all things. And so they believe that he's going to take them exactly where they need to be. Can I tell you this morning that I am fully convinced that God is going to take us as the remnant exactly where we need to be? I fully trust him. And because I trust him this morning, I'm going to do my very best to live every moment in complete obedience to him as I listen for his voice, as I follow his lead, and as I avoid the strangers of this world. Amen. You see, God's remnant doesn't look or live like goats. That's the bottom line. God's remnant does not look or live like goats this morning. They look and they live like sheep who understand their pedigree and their purpose. Because for us this morning, as his sheep, we are a peculiar treasure today, chosen by Jehovah, empowered by his grace, guided by his Holy Spirit, as we are positioned and purposed in his kingdom for his service. This morning, we are characterized by our love and passion for him and for others, with the word of God written on and made alive in our hearts so that we can go in his power and in his authority, producing and bearing fruit that will remain because sheep beget sheep, amen? And I know that sheep beget sheep is not in scripture, but it is a natural understanding. This morning, we are supposed to be producing sheep, not pretending to be sheep while we play the life of a goat. Because how many know if you are a goat, you will reproduce goats? Come on. So if the church keeps pretending to be a goat, or I'm sorry, pretending to be a sheep while they live the life of a goat, how many knows the odds are that unless God intervenes, your children are probably goats? And their children are probably goats. Now that's, again, Pastor John, that's harsh this morning. Why would you say that? How many knows this morning? Because eternity is a serious situation. Eternity isn't like we're going to do this thing for a little while and then, boop, restart. It's forever. Sheep or a goat this morning. Today, each of us have a choice. I can't make that for you, just like you can't make it for me. Sheep or a goat. God always keeps a remnant. He always keeps a remnant. He always keeps a reflection of the original. So let's choose to be and live as sheep of his pasture, not as a goat, believing that we are our own master. Let's press into the shepherd and allow him to the room to work in our lives so that he can purge and strip away all of our goat-like tendencies. Let's be sheep this morning who love God and love others as we have been loved ourselves. Let's be sheep who listen and obey and who live to serve the least of these. Let's be the remnant. In a world full of goats, please, church, be a sheep. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for its ability to lead us and guide us. God, to impart, Lord, not just earthly wisdom, but eternal wisdom. God, not just earthly truth, but eternal truth. Because, Lord, there will be a day where we stand before you, each and every one of us. God, whether on this earth we believed in you or not, whether we called on your name or not, Father, if we walked every day of this life as an atheist or an agnostic, God, it would not matter. We will all stand before you one day and give account of who we are and who we have been. So God, when that moment comes, Father, I pray that we have taken, God, the gift of life and salvation that you have given us seriously. And God, I pray that we have chosen to live as sheep and not like goats. Father, stir your church today. God, there is a movement that you desire, and God, I pray that your church would be awakened to it. God, that we would be mature enough to act, and God, no longer sit on the sidelines. God, no longer sit in our dugouts, in our digouts, in our basements, in our caves. But God, that we would arise to this moment, and God, be that remnant. Be the reflection of who you are to this lost and dying world. I pray in Christ's mighty name. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior, I would encourage you today to make him the Lord of your life. And if you're not sure how to do that, we want you to come and let us pray with you and let us just lead you in a simple prayer this morning and believe that God is going to just begin to, in this moment, transform your life. Today, if you need prayer of agreement for anything in your life, we want you to come. We want to pray and believe. Today, as sheep, we can trust and believe that God's word is truth, amen? And so we can declare that truth over our lives and over the circumstances and situations thereof. So this morning, if you've never confessed him, or you just need prayer of agreement today, these altars are open. Maybe today you're in that place where you think, man, you know what? I've just been a little goat-like. Take the moment and allow him the room to work and begin to purge those things from you this morning. Surrender to him, to the place and position to where you're no longer a goat, but you're a sheep. As they play and sing this morning, if that's you, I want to urge you to come this morning.